First of all, I have a touch of asthma. I think I would say it's from the cold weather, but maybe it's power of association with the. So if I have a little cough, I apologize. On this first slide, we worked really hard to make the title as concise as possible, and it's still a doozy, and it didn't make it all the way into the program. So the surprise for you all is that this is about seasonal trends of water contamination and crypto infections, but it's houses that have on-site wells and septic systems, so private wells and septic systems on private property. And I'd also like you to look at the photo. This is a landscape of Albuquerque, and we have the Rio Grande River going through the middle of town, and then on the eastern border, the Sandia Mountains. So nothing to disclose. So of course, safe drinking water, critical component of public health, and the latest data in 2007 was that approximately 20% or 26 million homes use septic systems for waste removal. And we, PIs on the study, Christine Tallestrup and Floyd Frost, and along with Twyla Kundi and myself, wanted to look at what is the prevalence of the contamination of well water by septic tanks, what is the association between those two systems, and what are the public health impacts of these interacting systems. So this is a nice little diagram of a typical setup. So you have the house and the septic system going off on one side, the drain field going out, and then you need about 50 to 100 feet to be legal, and you go down and tap your well into the groundwater, the water table on your property. It's regulated by the State Engineering Department of New Mexico and the Environment Department, and in the site where we were looking in Albuquerque by Bernalillo County. And we're looking at crypto in this study as an indicator of immune response that might be caused by contaminated water. And if you get really, really super close to crypto, it's a parasite that resides in the gut, and it ends up looking pretty cool and monstery. But crypto is very common, and for people that don't have immune suppression, you get diarrhea for a while and you get over it, but your immune system and that response can be measured in your blood for a long time, 94 weeks I think at least. So it's a very good way. Looking at oocysts of crypto is difficult to do, getting stool samples and counting them, but if you get a blood sample, you can look at immune response and you can measure exposure in that way. So in phase one of this study with Christine and Floyd and Twyla, we looked at people who reside in houses with private wells and septic systems, and are they at increased risk of enteric illness or infection from crypto? It was a cross-sectional study, and we collected water samples and blood samples and questionnaires from people who had septics in wells versus people who were unexposed and had were in the similar areas but were on city water and city sewer. And we have in Albuquerque the riverbed area, which is the sandy soil with a very high water table. And then we have the foothills in the mountain area, which is fractured granite, and they have wells that are up to 600 and 800 feet deep. And then we also had up in the mountains, sort of on the other side of the mountains from Albuquerque, and that was in limestone areas, and they sometimes even have to blast for their septic systems because it's so rocky. The results of that phase one were that water samples testing positive for indicators of contamination were 15.8% in the river area, 27.6% in the foothills, and 28.2% in the mountains. And sort of remember those numbers. It was, you know, 15, 27, 28%. And it did show, when we did the models, that people with on-site wastewater systems and private wells in the riverbed areas had more intense serological responses to cryptoantigens. And after controlling for other risk factors, after that, then the controls that were on city water and city sewer. And that was the statistically significant result, but the other sites showed the same trend. So having a septic system in a private well may increase the risk of crypto infection. So that was phase one. So what I'm reporting on today is phase two, but you kind of needed to know that to get you in the mood. We wanted to examine, after phase one, the occurrence of groundwater contamination indicators. and serological responses to cryptoantigens over time. And the hypothesis was is that people with strong antigenic serological responses will be more likely to have water samples that have elevated indicators of contamination, suggesting that their water is the source of their exposure. So in this analysis, I looked at individuals with high levels of cryptoantibodies, and I wanted to see who those people were in regards to their water contamination indicators, their diarrheal and gastrointestinal illnesses, and their risk factors for crypto infection. And this is a cool shot of your antibodies attacking a crypto parasite. So I took the phase one participants who had wells and septic, so the exposed group, and who had previously tested positive at least to 20% of the positive control, so they were capable of testing positive. And some of them lived in the river area, and some of them lived in the foothills. So we had the sandy riverbed area and the fractured granite. And 60 participants were selected from the exposed group of phase one. So we collected data for 13 months, from February to February of 2008 and into 2009. We got 7 water samples from their well once every other month, and then 5 blood samples and questionnaires once every 3 months. And the water was tested for total coliforms, your typical indicator of fecal contamination, but also E. coli, Enterococcus, and somatic coliphage. And we sent the water samples to Dr. Marilyn Yates at UC Riverside. And we did report the results to the participants after each test. So the exposure for this analysis is to ever tested positive for any water test during the data collection period. And then the blood samples were analyzed for the presence of cryptoantibodies by Western blot. And so you have your positive control, which has a certain bandwidth and density, and then you run your serum samples next to it, and it'll come out as a percentage of that positive control. So the outcome for this analysis was to be equal to or greater than 75% of the positive control for 2 band sites for cryptoantibody levels. And when I looked, because we had 5 measurements, when I looked at the results, I decided to combine combine those measures and have one summary measure for each band site so that my outcome could work with a multiple logistic regression. And it made sense because they weren't real different. So in the questionnaire that we collected at the time of the blood draw, we did basic demographics, length of time at residence, information about their well and wastewater systems, and then exposures to crypto, children's, pets, travel, activity around waters. We didn't end up using it in this analysis, but we wanted to know if there might have been a dose response, so we did do amount of water and then also past diagnosis of cryptosporidiosis. When I looked at the risk factor questions, they varied during the course of the study. We did the same questionnaire 5 times, but when you would ask a question, for instance, did you change a baby's diapers in the past year, the answer would change. So I had to figure out how to summarize these variables, and I decided to just run the model 2 ways. So I picked if they answered out of the 5 responses, what was most often positive, and then I also ran it if they ever said that they answered a risk factor question positively. So the number of positive water tests by month was really interesting. So in phase one, we had those 15%, 28%. In August of 08, we had almost 45% of the wells testing positive for fecal contamination. And you can see that there is a really big weather curve on this. And so in the winter months, we can't explain why there was absolutely none in February of 08, but you have a very nice sort of regular distribution and curve of as it gets warmer, the contamination goes up, and then it goes down as the weather cools off. My demographic characteristics, male and female about the same. They tended to be older, but the people, when I was looking at people with high antibodies versus people without, they were about the same there. There was more Hispanic in the high antibody group. And then there was not any difference in the geographic location. So, yeah, I think the only one that really, really was a different p-value was ethnicity. When we looked at the water tests and the and gastrointestinal illnesses for people with high antibodies and without, the ones that really stuck up were the total were the total coliform test and the E. coli. There wasn't a difference in gastrointestinal illness or diarrhea. When I looked at the variation in answers over the five questionnaires for the 13-month period, this was a very interesting result for me of how often risk factor answers changed. For instance, you know, eat fruit and vegetable peels. Do you eat apple peels? Their answer changed 79% of the time. You know, use a pool 39% of the time. Handled a child in diapers 20% of the time. Episodes of GI illness in the past year, they changed their answer 40% of the time. This is a lot of variation in the questionnaires. When I ran the models, I put all the risk factors in for crypto and everything fell out of the model. But we did see that there was an increased prevalence of high crypto antibodies with people that had a positive total coliform test. The odds ratio was 3.4, and it was significant. And then for positive E. coli, it was a 2.9 odds ratio, and it just barely missed significance. And this is when I ran, sorry, for the risk factor answer most often positive. So I ran the models twice. This is the first one. When I did it as ever positive, somehow traveled outside the U.S. was protective. It's a small data set that might have been a factor in that. It might have been an SES thing, but it went the odds ratio went down a bit and it wasn't as significant. And E. coli turned out to be the same. So this is a very good picture of what's happening here. Through either you know the geology of the area or the how close together your septic and well are, there is this association occurring between contaminated water and infection from crypto and controlling for other risk factors. The most likely source of the exposure is this association between the wastewater system and the private well. So people with on-site wastewater systems and private wells are at risk for fecal contamination of their drinking water, and in a 13-month cycle, 80% of the wells had fecal contamination at some point. And it was common for a household to have more than one water test be positive in a sample and for homes to test positive more than once. So even though there was all of this contamination, there wasn't any association between positive water tests and diarrhea or GI illness. People weren't getting sick at all. A theory for this is protective immunity, and that's that when we're exposed to low-level contagions in our environment, we become immune. The problem with this, or the risk of this, is that visitors who haven't been drinking the water and haven't built up those immunities are susceptible to illness, or conversely, can deposit foreign bacteria, virus, or parasites in the septic tank that you are not, or you know, the homeowner is not immune to. So implications for public health policy. People were not consistently reporting the same answers to the risk factor exposures to the on the questionnaires, like I said. And this is concerning because cross-sectional study design may be underestimating the prevalence of contamination and it may also lead to risk factor misclassification. We had much different numbers in our cross-sectional study as we did in our cohort study. And, you know, in public health in general, we rely on cross-sectional and point-in-time surveys for large national data sets. And I'd like to acknowledge our funding by Association for Prevention Teaching and Research and our cooperative agreement with the CDC. And thank you very much.
Any questions? So this is within the city limits?
No.
So it's outside Albuquerque.
Well, it's not like a suburb of Albuquerque, but our Foothills area is outside of the zoning where the city sewer and
okay.
But in the river area, it's all mixed in, And then some of it was in Corrales, which is an adjacent community that sort of runs right up to Albuquerque, but it's actually in Sandoval County and not Bernalillo County. So it's sort of the outskirts.
So within the city limits, they have city water and sewer?
Mostly. It gets patchy in parts of Albuquerque.
Okay. I was also wondering about if you were to look at the misclassification, obviously you got a lot of misclassification mm-hmm. in the risk factor. If you could analyze that by education level, or is there a lot of Spanish-speaking individuals in
no,
this sample?
None in this sample. Oh, well, or if they were Spanish-speaking, they were completely bilingual. We did
okay.
this in English, but no. So this was a very high SES group.
It was a high
yeah,
SES group.
Yeah, it was.
It would be real interesting to try to zero in on, you know, from a methods, you know, I think it'd be kind of interesting from a methods point of view to, because we so depend on, you know, questionnaires and all of that.
Sure.
If you could zero in on that, try to find out where, what that's associated, if you can figure out what that's associated with, that might be informative for other studies. Mm-hmm. Isn't it, Susan?
Yeah.
Sure. So it could be theirs or their neighbors.
Yeah.
Because these actually were large lots, large homes on large, they're like 0.8 acre lots, and it's fractured granite, and so it has a lot of fissures and things like that. And they do, everybody is compliant with the codes, and they do have 50 to 100 feet between, and even between there and their neighbors. But I think things are traveling more than our regulations suppose that they are.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, well, no other questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Do you all want to, I can ask.